The annual Diocese of Kerry Mission gets underway this Sunday, February 8th, and runs until the 11th. You can register by going to dioceseofkerry.ie. One of the speakers is Gemma Mulligan, who's pastoral coordinator for the Diocese of Ossory. Gemma's trained in godly play, which a practice which she integrates into her pastoral ministry, particularly with children preparing for the sacraments, including First Holy Communion, and this helps them to explore their faith. And she told me exactly how godly play works.
Godly play is, I suppose, it's a way of engaging children and not just children with scripture. We use beautiful materials to tell the stories from the Bible, from all the way from the story of creation, parables, all about Jesus' life. And there's also godly play stories around liturgy, around saints and different aspects of faith life. It's a very creative way of engaging children with their own spirituality. Godly play allows them to be engaged in a very childlike way. So, for example, anyone who's a godly play storyteller will use different materials. For example, if there's the story of the people of God in the desert, which is the great family, and there's lots of stories about people of God in the desert. So I would use a desert bag, what we call. So it's a bag that you can put on the ground, and it's got sand in it. So it helps the children to imagine their you know, the story in the desert. Then you'd use different materials, and we tell the story as it happened from the Bible, but using very simple language. And then there's something called wandering time, where the storyteller will, as the title suggests, invite the children to wonder about what they've heard. So, for example, I might say, I wonder what part of the story you like the best. Children then can actually get a little bit creative, and they'll use materials such as do some art, maybe use some Play-Doh. They might read a little book about the story further on. They can explore the materials themselves. And then we usually have a little prayer. We have what's known as a feast time. The children will all, we'll gather again in a circle. They'll have a little treat, and we give thanks together, and then off they go. Now that's the very, very short, brief. There's a lot more to it. I would use it often in our diocese for children who are preparing for First Holy Communion. But it is used, it's not just for children preparing for sacraments, it's for all children. And it's often used in nursing homes, it's used with people with disabilities. I've used it for ministry training with adults.
So as you explained there, Gemma, it's godly play, a way of storytelling which allows children or indeed adults to explore their own spirituality or their own religious beliefs. Yeah. And you are involved as pastoral coordinator for the Diocese of Ossory. That includes Kilkenny, is it? What other parts of the country does it include?
Yeah, Ossory is, we have 42 parishes, and we are all of Kilkenny and parts of Laois and Offaly. I'm the pastoral coordinator, which really I coordinate the Diocesan Pastoral Plan. A lot of my work is working with parishes and pastoral areas around, I suppose, the realities of today, understanding co-responsibility, working together, all that kind of thing. I coordinate the John Paul II Awards, and I'm linking with groups who are preparing for pilgrimages, so those who are going to Taizé. The main part of my work is trying to encourage all the people in parishes to work more together and to kind of, I suppose, take on more responsibilities around building up our parishes and our diocese.
And Gemma, one of your roles is involved with True Godly Plays, is helping children prepare for Holy Communion in the diocese. Is there a tension? Because there's a lot of talk about this, because obviously church attendance figures aren't the way they were 30, 40 years ago. Is there a tension when a child has been prepared for sacrament, prepared for Holy Communion, and it's obvious that the child's the family don't go to Mass, and that in all likelihood, after the child has made their first Holy Communion, they probably won't see the inside of a church again until their confirmation? How does one reconcile this tension? Maybe there is no tension, but how does one reconcile that when you're trying to help children prepare for sacraments, when it's probably likely that the child probably won't go to Mass for a long, long time again?
It is something that comes up, and I suppose maybe less, there might be tension for some people, but I think the overall feeling is a kind of a sadness, because the joy when young children are brought to Mass, it's wonderful to see young children. They're full of enthusiasm. So when they're there, it's such a blessing. And I think, I suppose I always take the point of view that they are there. And while they are there, the experience that they have of being part of their parish or part of their diocese, meeting with other people in their parish, other children, other families, that should be an amazing experience for them, where they feel very welcome, where they feel they have a place and they belong. There is a sadness that you're right, that in a lot of cases, families maybe don't return for a while, or they only come now and again. I think it's important that when they are preparing and when they are there, that they feel that they have a place, they feel welcome, that their families feel welcome, that they get a really good experience. And in often cases, for example, parents are often invited to, or family members are often invited to read at the masses, that maybe, you know, as part of the preparation. And in several cases in our diocese, when people are asked, would they like to continue? They do. And we would have people on our Diocesan Pastoral Council who came through the route of their children, if you like. So when their children were preparing for sacraments, something was sparked within them, and they realized and recognized that they were comfortable and happy, and they wanted to maybe serve a little bit in their parishes or give something back. And they slowly got involved. While there's a real sadness maybe when you see all these beautiful children there for several weeks, and then maybe they're not there. There's a sadness there, but the other side is that they don't all go away. Some will stay. So while I suppose maybe there is a tension, but I think overall it's just a sadness, and I suppose we really need to know why that happens and why people don't come back, you know. But my strongest feelings are that while they are there, that they should be welcomed and know that they are welcomed and wanted.
Now, Gemma, you are speaking, one of the speakers at the forthcoming Diocese of Kerry Mission. You'll be speaking on February 11th, 8 p.m., yeah. I should say. And the theme is Family, a Peaceful Place. Obviously, this is online, so people can register online. And can they take part as well? Can they ask questions afterwards?
Yeah. So people can go onto the Diocese of Kerry website and register. And each day then they will receive an email with links to what's happening that day. And there's a mission booklet and so on. And there's some suggestions for activities at home and daily reflections and so on. Yeah, I'm delighted to be part of the mission. And I'm speaking on the last night. There'll be time for questions before the end. If people haven't already registered, to just go to the Diocese of Kerry website to register there. And it begins on Sunday night and right through to Wednesday night.
The topic you're exploring is Family, a Peaceful Place. What are some of the angles you may be looking at?
Yeah, so it's Family, a Peaceful Place, and a question mark at the end of it, might I add.
Important.
So I suppose I'll be looking. And I suppose sometimes, you know, we might think that actually our homes and where our families are, it's the opposite of that. They can be less than peaceful at times. But I suppose in looking at how as Christians, as Catholics, how we bring the understanding of like what really is peace, you know, is it really is love? You know, in 2016, Pope Francis wrote, he had a synod on the synodality, a synod on the family was held. And he wrote a document afterwards, we call it an encyclical, called Amoris Laetitia, a beautiful reflection on the family. And something that he wrote, he said, I thank God that many families, which are far from considering themselves perfect, live in love, fulfill their calling and keep moving forward, even if they fall many times along the way. There is no stereotype of the ideal family, but rather a challenging mosaic made up of many different realities with all their joys, hopes and problems. So I suppose that would be where I will be focusing a lot of my talk, that there's no such thing as an ideal family or a perfect family, but that we're all doing our best. We're all trying to do our best along the way. There's lots of joys and challenges, and just seeking where that message kind of is at the core of our family home, that Jesus is really where true peace comes from. And if Jesus is at the heart of our home, that maybe we can have a peaceful place within our home and within our family. And obviously it comes with a health warning, in that I am not an expert. I don't have an ideal family. I don't have a perfect family, but I do have a family, and I do, I suppose, experience what most people in families do. All of us have a family we were born into. Some of us have additional families, the one maybe we got married and had children. Some people are still living at home with their parents, whatever. It's just looking at all of that, a big mosaic, if you like.
I really enjoyed that contribution from Gemma Mulligan from the Diocese of Ossory, who's one of the speakers at the upcoming Diocese of Kerry mission that gets underway on Sunday. For more information and to register, go to dioceseofkerry.ie. I really appreciated what Gemma was saying in relation to we can get caught up with how our family must be perfect, we must appear flawless, we must keep up appearances, whether that's financial or social or whatever, and that we really need to move away from that attitude. The perfect family does not exist.